January 10th, 2016, Sunday, continued. It's 2:02 p.m. And I'm coming down from the crest here on this trail, descending down to where my car is. It's about 40, 45 minutes from here. What else to comment on today? The last couple of nights, I've watched. I watch a bunch of things. But I was at YouTube, and I was watching in particular this about an hour, a little less than an hour long documentary entitled Cobra Gypsies. And it has over 3 million views right now. So it's been a popular video. And there's a number of things I want to say about this. I'm not sure. It's Rajasthan. I'm not sure what areas of India this relates to, but it's desert. Maybe higher elevation, desert-like terrain. Could be a couple of thousand feet up, but it's flat, desert-like, got a lot of snakes, and then drought-resistant plants, a lot of lizards, a lot of poisonous lizards and snakes, king cobras, and monitor lizards and other things. And there's this one guy, I forget the name, but if you type in that those two words into Google or into YouTube, you'll find this video and this man who appears to be maybe a 35, 40-year-old guy from Spain or Portugal. He looks a little swarthy. He's got the closely cropped beard, but he doesn't look like Germanic. He looks, I don't know what the other word is, but it looks like he's from somewhere else. But he takes it upon himself with his video camera to go into this, to join for a few weeks or a month, I'm not sure how long he was there, this nomadic community. And basically, let me hit just the two things that are the two concepts that are most concerning to me, and then I'll fill in more of the details in a moment. One is that in this remote, poverty-stricken area of a harmless, untouchable people, this is a group that's called upon to do all the dirtiest work for the Brahmins and all the other bastards benefiting from this regimentation of society. There's chemtrailing. Once or twice in the video, it's very clear, and then many, many times you just see odd, suspicious-looking clouds, and that look like the remains of chemtrails. And so I want to say that they're being poisoned, like everyone else. And the second point that I just want to hit is the vital, innocent, dynamic, coherent, spontaneous, glorious flowering of a people these people are. They have a name. I forget what their name is. It's not Cobra Gypsies. I don't even have it on the tip of my tongue right now. But it's a particular people. And these, for lack of a better term, indigenous people that are not, they are being destroyed by our civilization. And what is our civilization? It's Miley Cyrus, it's Madonna, it's Brad Pitt, it's Obama, these people that, whatever his name is, Barry Sotero, or if that's even his name. It's Exxon, it's Disney, it's the commodification and the equitization, you know, creating, you know, equities and stock, it's the stock markets, it's the financial class, it's the Rothschilds, it's Chase Bank, it's the Bank of England, it's these entities that devour anything that's natural, any natural commodity, any natural beauty, and subjugate it, force it into slavery. Whatever they do, you know, they commodify everything. And what I noticed in this video, I need to go and see when, you know, when it was filmed. It would make sense to me if it was in the mid to early 90s or earlier, because, well, I think I saw one radio tower. I don't recall seeing any cellular towers, and I didn't see anyone with a handheld device, because as this the snakes at the helm of our debt-based currency, you know, they want to go to a digital cashless system where every car is tracked and taxed on its mileage in real time, and every economic exchange is digital and wireless and taxed, and, you know, and so many people, I've heard, you know, the bulk of Asia and the bulk of Africa, even the poorest people, or many of the poorest people, have cell phones. They might not have a car or even a scooter. They might not even, they may live on the street, but they have enough money for a cell phone. And the system wants it that way. It wants the cellular phones and cellular connectivity to be ubiquitous and cheap, because it is the noose that is going to be drawn tight over humanity's collective activities, collective gatherings, economic pulse. So it was just very sad to know that this people was on the extinguished species, you know, on the endangered species list, soon to be extinct. Okay, now let me flesh out some details. Everyone was lean. I mean, just lanky. I guess that's the word. You don't see anyone now that just has genes that just fall over them, you know, that just hang about them. The original gene style was built for slender, almost gaunt people whose, if you ever made you know, crafts with these brass, I guess they're called brass tabs. Well, anyways, you just hold the limbs together of a construction paper animal or creature, and the limbs, to give them movement, you know, they flex or they move around this little brass tab, and it just seemed like there was an effortlessness into the swinging of their joints and their limbs, because they were lean. And I associated that with the fact that no one was eating at McDonald's. They gathered some of their own food. I mean, you saw them get their own honey, and I don't know what else they do. You know, they probably have some processed food. You know, as opposed to me, you know, look at me. Just, you know, zoom in on the speaker here. I'm bursting out of my clothes. The last time I was able to tuck in an Aloha shirt because I still have, heck, I must have 40 pairs of Aloha shirts, or it's not called pairs, 40 Aloha shirts I wear to work. Up until about 200 pounds, I could easily tuck it into my pants, and that's how I wore my Aloha shirts, was tucked in, just showing off my waist. And, you know, I mean, I wasn't doing that on purpose. It was just the easiest way to wear them. But then when my girth started becoming a problem, pressing against my waistband, and just with my stomach spilling over my belt, anything that I was inserting between my bulging stomach and my pants was just, you know, a bridge too far, one thing too many. And so since then, especially now at 220, I'm wearing my clothes out. But all these people, man, just not, you could not pinch an inch on these people. And that's a phrase meaning, you know, pinching an inch around your waist. And that's supposed to be a reflection of your cardiovascular health. You know, how much fat is around your heart muscle or in there, you know, possibly occluding it. And so if you've got what they call a tire, or a, call them love handles, you know, it's more of a, what's a word for it, that, you know, just a phrase of something that's not very pleasant, but trying to give it a more, a less offensive connotation or reference. They had none of this, and their teeth were beautiful. Many of them, just, you know, their eyes were bright and shiny. Now, that wasn't the case with all of them. You saw some of the women and some of the men, you know, they did look a little spooked, a little traumatized, and you know what? I'm not surprised. This tribe or commune, there's three different, I guess, different types of different tribes, and then they gather at particular times of the year, and there would be like 2,000 getting together. I think they are nomads. And then they get together then and dance and just rejoice. But I'm not going to idealize, you know, this, you know, they're sleeping on sticks and, you know, having to contend with cobra snakes and all sorts of things. And they're at the bottom of society. So that, I think, you know, they were woken up in the middle of the night and someone, you know, in higher level caste had directed them to deal with the cobra snake making its way through the village in the middle of the night. And so they had to go out and capture it. And and a bunch of, you know, there's a hell of a lot of hardships these people deal with. And the heat is, apparently it gets up to 120 degrees in the summer, and they don't have air conditioning. And they have to chop their own firewood. And what they sell, what they make is charcoal. So they get all this, they have to chop by hand all this, you know, small branches and small limbs, and break them up and put them into a neat pile, and then cover that pile with earth, and then light it on fire with a little hole on the top, so it like smolders for a couple of days and becomes charcoal, and they sell the charcoal. And you know that can't be expensive. You know, the charcoal's in large bags, and it's a messy, hard work. And none of them were wearing hats, as their ozone layer is being shredded, their skin is being burnt off, or at least getting toxic, carcinogenic doses of radiation, I'm sure. But look at, and they have arranged marriages. And they had a whole big thing on that. And that's, you know, not much of a fight against it. It's just what people do. And so the community comes first. And your parents decide who you're going to marry, and that's just how it is. So it's very traditional in that sense. And before you knee-jerk and get all, you know, on your modern high horse, you know, about the, you know, this lowly throwback of a pattern of socialization, consider this, or ask this question. You know, is our culture, that might be even too, respectful, or you know, that word may not even apply to what we have today. This broken commodity commercialization, whatever it is, it doesn't feel like culture. And this instant gratification, you know, totally politically managed self-identity that's going around. We call it cultural Marxism. But ask yourself, is our culture a success? With the kind of, a third of the adults on antidepressants that eats holes in your brains because the active ingredient is fluoride, which is a neurotoxin, eats holes in your brain. A third of people are just depressed. You've got 100 million Americans or something like that are dependent upon the government. In this vibrant, and people are fat and obnoxious and stupid and dependent on the government. We're just a bunch of fat, sickly sheep, cattle, cows. And to think that we've bombed other countries, we're at, U.S. now, United States of America, we're at war in 8 countries, and we have the moral high ground. We have a right to lecture this nomadic tribe as to what's right and what's worth aspiring for. And so, here's the thing. You know, I guess life should be about options. I don't think that, you know, when you're faced with colonization and the advancement of the Western Empire, and everything that entails, you know, a debt-based monetary system, an Illuminati, satanic-dominated cultural set of offerings, this voyeurism that is Hollywood. An addiction to technology and to wireless signal and to wireless transmissions of data. You know, all this stuff, whatever it is, our diabetes, our apathy, our warmongering, our susceptibility to mind control and to just doing whatever we're told. And that's really what's happening right now. I just was very... You have to be in the right kind of frame of mind to receive information in an impactful way that just really sinks to your heart. And just know that that's where I was. You know, I was lounging on my bed, 10 o'clock at night, with the laptop on and my headphones on, and just kind of bundled up because it gets into the 30s around here at night, and I don't usually have the heat on at night, just put a bunch of layers over me, like it that way. But this culture should be allowed to exist. And you know, their practices should be allowed. They're, you know, apparently one of the three tribes used to subsist on hunting. They were hunters, and through executive order, the Indian government just said, you know what? No one's going to hunt anymore. And what does that do? That forces an additional 5 or 10 million people into the urban slums to be wards of the state, because they can't be independent on the land anymore. You know, that just serves the state to, you know, it diminishes the population, but it emboldens and embellishes the dominance of the political class. Because I listened to Dane Wigginton, and again, he's talking about, you know, we're losing 300 species of plant, animal, and insect a day. But we're also losing the various cultures that inform our collective identity. And if you just watch this video, you know, see how colorful they are. Apparently, they make their own clothes. And everyone's got unique shirts and pants. They have people that do the special embroidering and everything for them. And I mean, it's just a dazzling display of color and uniqueness and character. And to see that and compare that to what passes for normalcy here in the West, where, hey, let me get my credit card. I'm going to go to this commercial mall space, but because it's private, people can't pamphlet there. They can't get on their soapboxes and preach about anything like you can in a public space. This totally controlled corporate commercial space, and I'm going to go see what commercial offerings I can go into debt for to create my identity. And compare that to what this people do, which is, I'm going to make my own clothes to express my unique identity, because you know what? We are all unique. Every one of us is unique. And actually what they do is closer to the truth of the matter than this commercialization of a wardrobe with brands and statuses all built into really how much money you put into something. It's not about how much creativity you've got or how much spunk and character you have. It's how much money you can spend, or it's someone else's idea of taste. And it's a bastardization, a demonization of our humanity. Certainly by comparison to this. But hey, there's this one group that they don't wash, they never take a bath. They wash their utensils in, rinse them off in ash, but they don't smell. I don't really, because it's a very dry area, but they tend to just not take showers. Maybe they do it once in a while. There's some other very, and of course the openness and the trustingness of the people were something you don't find in modern society by and large. Yes, there have been a few families I've known that, you know, haven't owned TVs and were, you know, living close to the land and were, you know, conservative Christians actually, and were very grounded and present. These were kids that wanted my attention, wanted to show me their world when I was at the house, as opposed to other friends of mine who are a lot wealthier financially, but whose kids are, you know, would angrily yell at, you know, bark at you if you get between them and their viewing of whatever's on the TV, who are more interested in technological products and commodified, passive experiences than interaction, than engagement with another human being. Which is really what this culture is on, that Cobra Gypsies was all about, was people who people who live harmoniously with each other and have a level of social cohesion that our current world can't touch. And you didn't see a lot of aggression there. And when they got together, they would dance all night, and they pride themselves. I mean, they are related to the gypsies, and they would get paid for weddings or maybe it's tourist things where they would dance, and would generally, maybe the men would play the music and the women would dance, and they'd dress up in colorful costumes. And but just a beautiful people, and something that we should not be trying to destroy. Something that we should be actively trying, create a safe space for this group. And one small thing that India could do just have a provision in the regulations as they roll out that, to seek that, to ensure that the rules do not adversely affect the traditional lifestyles of some various peoples, especially ones who have qualities that, that are recognized and that we don't want to demean or diminish. And so I saw that some of their encampments were near power, high voltage lines, those giant metal towers that carry electricity across the country or across, long distances. And, there could be a rule where no one can set up shop, no one could camp near, within a mile of these things. And then basically the gypsies would be between a rock and a hard place. Similarly, if this group needed a hunt on the land, they should be allowed to do so. That's all I want to say right now, is I don't have a lot of confidence in Western culture. And rather than looking down on these financially poor people, I actually was overwhelmed with appreciation for the dynamism and the integrity, the frugality, and just the character of this people. And they're not the only ones. There's other communities out there too that we should not, we don't want the world to become a strip mall full of McDonald's and Calvin Klein outlets. That's just not, it's not going to serve our species well over the long term.